word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Back to the Bible radio program. This is Brent Arnold, the preacher for the Greenfield Church of Christ in Greenfield, Tennessee. And I'm delighted to have the opportunity to study God's Word with you this morning. Now, let us open God's Word together as we go back to the Bible.
Have you noticed the recent personalized nature of advertising and customer service? Not too long ago, I was eating at a Chick-fil-A. You know, it used to be you would go to a fast food restaurant and they would give you an order number. And when your food was ready, they'd call the number and you would come and pick it up. But I've noticed that a lot of businesses now, instead of giving you a number, they'll ask for your name. And when your order is ready, they'll call your name to come and pick it up. It's not only an efficient way to do things, but it's a very personal thing. And people in business understand that the more personal the interaction is between the business and the customer, the more likely you are to come back. And when you know a person's name, that builds a relationship, and it's very personal. We love to be called by our names. There's a lot of business to personalize things, you know, monogram person's name on their jacket or their coffee cup or whatever whatever it is that they want to put their name on. Make it personal. You know, it can be very embarrassing when you can't remember someone's name. I hate to admit it, but unfortunately that happens to me quite often. Maybe I go and speak somewhere one time and I'm just not there long enough really to learn everybody's name, but they remember mine, and maybe they see me somewhere else later and they call me by name and I'm not able to do the same, and I hate that feeling. Especially if somebody else calls me by name, I want to be able to do the same for them. And, you know, it can be very frustrating when someone doesn't remember your name. Unfortunately, that happens pretty often at my house, too, because we have three children. Sometimes I run through all three of them before I finally get the right name. I think a lot of parents do that. But my daughters especially get very frustrated if they get called by the wrong name. Our name stands for our person, our identity. It's special to us. And it's something that we take a great deal of pride in, that we want to be respected. The fact of the matter is, it's not just us. But as we read through the Bible, God places a great deal of emphasis upon names and how important they are to Him. In fact, the most important name of all is God's name. And God's name is very important to Him. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, one of the Ten Commandments says that thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The Lord will not hold him guiltless who taketh his name in vain. God's name is sacred. It stands for his character, for his person. And if you disrespect God's name, then you're disrespecting God. And God says he will not hold that person guiltless who does that. It's rather ironic to notice the difference of attitude toward God's name at different times. Back in Old Testament times, the Israelites had such a respect for God's name, they often wouldn't even pronounce it at all. They came up with euphemisms that they would use just because they didn't feel worthy to pronounce God's name. Contrast that with today, and you turn on the television, and in a 10-minute period of time, you may hear God's name 15 or 20 times, but most of the time it's going to be used as a slang word or as a form of profanity. And that's a shame that God's name is not respected any more than it is. God's name is very special to Him, just as our name is special to us, and we wouldn't want anyone to treat it flippantly or disrespect it. The same is equally true with God, perhaps even in a greater way. Not only is God's name important to God, but our name is important to God. In Isaiah 43:1, God said to his children, "I have called you by your name. You are mine." Now that was true of God's people as a nation in the Old Testament. He gave them a name and he called them by that name, and his recognition of that name showed the special relationship that he had with those people. "You are mine," he says. But what was true of the nation was also true of individuals. God knows every individual. He knows them personally and intimately. He knows them by name. You know, the Lord chose the names of many people in the Bible. He chose Isaac, for example, Genesis 17:19. The name Isaac means laughter, and it would make you laugh to hear about a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman having a son, but that's what happened when Abraham and Sarah had Isaac. God created that laughter by doing something that man couldn't do. Isaac's name represented that. God chose John's name. In Luke 1:13, he told Zacharias and Elizabeth that they were to name their son John. That's the one that we know as John the Baptist. Of course, the angel also told Joseph and Mary to name their son Jesus. And the name Jesus means salvation. And this child was born to be the Savior of the whole world. Those names were special, and they were chosen specifically by God because names are important to God. Not only did the Lord choose names, but there were occasions when the Lord changed names as well. For example, God changed Abram's name to Abraham. The name Abram means father. The name Abraham means father of many. God made a promise to Abram that through him, a great nation would come and a seed would come that would save the world. So when he made that promise, he changed his name to Abraham to symbolize that promise. He changed Jacob's name to Israel, as well as a few other names in Scripture. And so when a name is changed, then that's an indication of something that is significant to the parties that are involved. On a more comical note, I read a few interesting name changes. For example, a 26-year-old mechanic in England named Steve Bolton decided to change his name to Buzz Lightyear, went through the legal process, paid the necessary for the necessary legal representation to be able to do that. He explained that he just knew that his girlfriend was going to love telling people that she was going out with Buzz Lightyear. Somehow I don't think she was as amused by that as he was. But there was also Stephen O'Rourke, who changed his name to John Rambo. He loved those Rambo movies, and he would walk around town wearing a bandana and camouflage fatigues and doing his killer Stallone impression. And so he decided to change his name because he said, "I'm the real-life version of the character anyway, so I might as well wear the name." Well, not everybody would be as eager to change their name to something like Buzz Lightyear or John Rambo, but the fact that these people did change their name shows something that's significant to them. And on a grander scale, God does the same thing. Not only are names very important to God, but they're also very important to Jesus. Jesus often called people by name. He knew them by name. Even before he met them, he knew them by name. He often used their names to send very important messages. For example, remember the occasion when Jesus visited in the home of Martha and Mary, and Martha was preparing a meal, but Mary wasn't helping with that, and Mary was sitting there listening to Jesus. And Martha became angry that Mary wasn't up helping her, and she scolded Jesus and told Jesus, "Don't you care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Tell her to help me. And it was obviously a volatile situation. And the Lord turned to Martha and he said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part. Notice how he used her name, Martha, Martha. He knew her name, he knew her nature, and he knew how to call her by name and settle her down. We're not emphasizing the Lord's knowledge of names like it's some business tactic. You know, salesmen pride themselves in remembering people's names because they feel like they're more likely to close the sale if they know someone's name. That's not what we're saying about Jesus. His knowledge of the name of a person represents his knowledge of the person. And I find that very comforting and encouraging. In Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31, Jesus told about the rich man and Lazarus. It's interesting that he calls Lazarus by name many times, but not once does he ever call the rich man by name. Lazarus was a man faithful to the Lord, and the rich man was not, and perhaps that's the reason why. Speaking of changing names, you know, the Lord did this as well, Jesus. For example, when Simon became a disciple of Jesus, Jesus gave him the name Peter. The name Peter means a stone, and the Lord gave this name to Peter to help remind Peter of the kind of character that the Lord needed Peter to possess. He needed him to be solid like a rock. He needed him to be a strong leader that others could follow and depend on. And it's interesting when you read through their relationship how the Lord sort of fluctuated between these names. Whenever Peter was solid in his faithfulness, the Lord would refer to him as Peter, but there were times when he wasn't so solid, and the Lord would refer to him as Simon. But the Lord kept calling Peter by this name in hope that he would grow into that role and become the person that he was capable of being. In a similar way, Tommy Lasorda, who was once the manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers, he had a young, skinny pitcher who was new in the Dodgers minor league system. Now, this youngster was somewhat timid, but he had an extraordinarily powerful and accurate arm. And Lasorda was convinced that this young pitcher had what it took to become one of the greatest ever. But Lasorda knew that he needed to be more fierce and competitive. He needed to lose that timidity. So Lasorda gave him a nickname that was the exact opposite of his personality at the time. Lasorda started calling him Bulldog. Every time he saw him, he called him Bulldog. And over the years, that's exactly what Oral Hershiser became, one of the most tenacious competitors who ever took the mound in the major leagues. And that nickname became a perpetual reminder of what he ought to be. Before long, it shaped his attitude. Jesus did the same thing with Peter. And his recognition of that name shows that he knows the person. Each of these examples shows that Jesus touched people in a personal way and called them by name. In this lesson, I want to challenge us to think about the importance of our name. I want us to consider three reasons why our names are so important. These three reasons are a powerful motivation to make the most of the name that we've been given. So let's talk about those three reasons. Here's number one. The Lord knows your name. Some of the stories I've already told may not surprise you. Everybody knows Abraham's name. Everybody knows Jesus' name. Everybody knows Peter's name. What about Brent Arnold? What about your name? If you Google your name, how many items will it pull up? For most of us, not very many. Our names are not always recognized widely in the world. But you know what? I can live with the fact that Google, my name hasn't made much of an impression on Google. I don't need to make an impression on Google. But one thing that does give me great satisfaction is to know that my name has made an impression on God. My name has made an impression in heaven. And that's all I need. The Bible says in John 10:3, that the good shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. No Christian is anonymous to God. Jesus knows your name. He never has to say, "Hey, you." That makes me think about back when my kids were small and I was coaching some of their sports teams. You know, sometimes it would take you a practice or two to learn everybody's name. And unfortunately, through those first couple of practices, you'd have to do a lot of "Hey, you," until you could learn somebody's name. Jesus never does that. Jesus has never been embarrassed by not recognizing someone. When you know a person's name, it's like crossing an ocean into their world. Jesus is able to do that. No one introduces a family member as, "Oh, what's his name?" And that's who we are to him. We are children. Just as he knows each sparrow that falls to the ground, he knows your name and he knows every intimate detail of your life. As the shepherd knows his sheep by name, the Lord knows you by name. The poet Bosch said, "God knows each winding way I take, every sorrow, pain, and ache. His children he will not forsake. He knows and loves his own." Isn't that exciting to know that the Lord knows your name? But here's my second reason. The Lord wants to confess your name. In Matthew 10:32-33, Jesus said, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." The name of Jesus is Jesus Christ. Jesus reminds us of his humanity, the man who was a carpenter from Nazareth. Jesus has lived among us. He understands what it's like to live this life. But Christ reminds us that he is the anointed one, that while he was a man, he was more than just a man. He was a man who could walk on water, who could heal the sick and raise the dead, who could cause the blind to see and the lame to walk, who could take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed a multitude of people. These are not the powers of an ordinary person. These are powers that belong only to God. And the fact that Jesus possessed these powers shows us he was more than just a man. He fulfilled every prophecy of the Old Testament written about him. He was risen from the dead. All of these things demand that he is Jesus Christ. And that's something that we are to believe, and it's something that we are to confess with our mouths. And Jesus promises that if we confess his name, he will confess our name before the Father in heaven. Can you imagine what a wonderful scene that will be? To stand before God and Jesus, to stand there and listen as Jesus speaks to the Father and acknowledges us, accepts us into heaven, confesses our name before the Father. What a wonderful, wonderful moment that will be. Sadly, many people will not know that, because Jesus also said that whoever denies him before men, he will deny before the Father who is in heaven. Why would anyone deny him in light of all of the wonderful things that he did? Unfortunately, many people are more influenced by the opinions of others than the real evidence. The Bible says in John 9:22 that the parents of a young man that Jesus had healed would not confess Jesus because they were afraid to be put out of the synagogue. In John 12:42-43, the Bible says that many of the rulers believed in Jesus, but they would not confess him, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Is the name of Jesus important to you? Are you willing to confess that name? If the answer is yes, then take assurance in the reality that your name is also important to him, and he will confess your name before the Father in heaven. Let me show you an example of this. In Matthew 16:13-18, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, one of the prophets." But he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Now at first it might sound strange that Jesus would turn to Peter and say, "I say you are Peter." And at first you might think, well, doesn't Peter know that? But Jesus was just doing what he promised he would do. Peter had just confessed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. So what did Jesus do? He confessed the name of Peter before the Father in heaven. And he said, "I say unto you that you are Peter." And what he did there, he wants to do for you and for me. Imagine that moment, hearing your name on his lips. Anything that we need to do in this life be well worth the privilege of hearing our name on the sweetest lips that have ever spoken. So, first of all, the Lord knows your name. Second of all, the Lord wants to confess your name. But then thirdly, the Lord hopes to call your name. In Matthew 7:21-23, picturing the judgment scene, the Lord said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Now, at first, that might seem contradictory to what we just studied. Jesus promised, "If you confess my name, I'll confess your name." Here's a group of people claiming to confess the name of Jesus. They call him Lord, Lord. They say that they have prophesied in his name. They say they have cast out demons in his name and done many wonders in his name. And yet Jesus still says, "I never knew you." Why doesn't he confess them? Well, there's a couple of possibilities as to what is the problem here. Sometimes people do the wrong thing for the right reason. In other words, they say they were prophesying in his name, but maybe they were prophesying their own thoughts or their own opinions rather than being true to Scripture. And they claim to do works in his name, but maybe their beliefs and their teaching wasn't consistent with his will. Acts 17:11 tells us that we must search the Scriptures daily to consider whether the things that we believe and whether the things that we teach are so. If they're not consistent with Scripture, then we put our soul at stake. We are to examine ourselves whether or not we're in the faith. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Or here's another possibility. Maybe there were times in their lives when they were prophesying and doing wonderful works. But maybe at other points of their lives they were doing things that were evil and offensive in the eyes of God. You know, when he says to them, "Depart from me," he says, "You practice lawlessness." So if I go out here in public and prophesy in the name of Jesus, but over here in private, I practice lawlessness, well, that undoes the good that I've done before. In 1 John 1, 8 through 9, the Bible tells us that we should never pretend as though we have no sin, but we should confess our sins, and then he will forgive us of our sins. The third possibility here is that maybe they were doing good things, but they were doing it for the wrong reason. Maybe they were prophesying and doing wonders, but maybe they were doing it for their own glory rather than for the glory of the Lord. Basically, what it boils down to is this. They may have professed with their mouths. They talked a lot about following the Lord, but what they were doing was a whole nother story. And our actions speak much louder than our words. Unfortunately, these people will not hear the Lord call their name in the day of judgment. And that's a sad thing. In Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, the Bible says that at the judgment scene, there's an important book that's going to be opened. It's called the Book of Life. In that book, God records the names of those who belong to him. That book's going to be opened, and those whose names are found written in that book are going to be accepted into heaven. Those whose names are not found written in that book are going to be cast into hell. Revelation 21 and verse 27 says, There shall by no means enter anything that defiles or causes an abomination, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What a joy! Can you imagine how sweet it will be to see that book opened and hear your name read from it? Are you sure that your name is in that book? If you're not, we would love to help you. We want to have that opportunity because we desire that God would call every name. He will call every name those who receive and obey his gospel. Do you believe in Jesus? Are you willing to turn from your sin and live for him? Are you willing to confess the name of Jesus Christ and be baptized in his name so that his blood can wash away your sins? If you're willing to take those steps, then the moment you are baptized into Christ, your name will be recorded in that book. And as you strive to live faithfully to him, you have that hope that one day you're going to stand before him and hear that name read and be received into his home eternally. Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord, Acts 22:16 says. Friend, if there's any way that we can help you do that, please contact us today.
Unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Again, this has been Brent Arnold from the Greenfield Church of Christ. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope and pray that this lesson has been a blessing to you, and we hope that you'll tune in again next week to this same station at this same time. Please come and visit us as soon as you can. We're located on Highway 45 in Greenfield, Tennessee. We meet on Sundays at 10, 10:45 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can contact us either by calling us at 731-235-2341 or by emailing us at greenfieldchurchofchrist@yahoo.com. We'll be looking forward to our next opportunity to go back to the Bible. Till then, have a great day.
To my feet and alive.